Father, we stand in awe of you. We so desire your presence because we know that we're nothing without you. Have mercy upon us and let your grace abound as we repent for every sin, transgression, iniquity, and every dumb thing we've done that's offended you. Wash us with the blood. Purge us with your presence. Fill us with your spirit as we welcome the Holy Spirit here to come and take us to the throne room of our Daddy. That the anointing break every yoke of bondage, opening eyes and ears and heart. Bring healing to the body. As I send your word out that says, by the stripes of Jesus, it is written and they are healed. By the stripes of Jesus. Now I want you to catch it. Lift your hands and tell them I've got it. I receive it. Thank you, Master. Thank you. Now, Father, we take dominion and bind every strong man, principality, power of darkness, wickedness in heavenly places. That will come against a house called True and all its associates, its family members, its disciples, its flock, its seeds, its harvest, and its inheritance. That will come against its prosperity. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, command those spirits to go to the pit, and we put the blood between us. And we bind us to the anointed one and his anointing, because where the spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. In Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! This is the night the Lord has made, and we'll rejoice and be glad in it and kick some butt on the devil. Is everybody blessed? Highly flavored? Anointed, appointed? And ready to battle. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hosea 4:6. If you don't know it, you ought to know it by now. I guarantee you it will be branded in your spirit. Hosea 4:6. I love the presence of the Lord. I'm addicted to the presence of God. Some people are addicted to chocolate. I'll take the presence of God anytime. Hosea 4:6. Is everybody there? Is everybody okay? If you don't know where it is, ask your neighbor to help you. Don't be shy. Shy is fear. It's no time to be shy. It's time to be bold. Hosea 4:6. Read it. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And because you have rejected knowledge, I will reject you for being priests for me. And because you have forgotten the law of your God, I will also forget your children. And this is so powerful. And the scripture continues. And this is where he tells us about ancestral curses. And curses come down the family line. And he's saying, my people are destroyed for lack of understanding of the knowledge of God. My people are destroyed for lack of understanding of the knowledge of God. Because, see, many people have the knowledge of God, but they don't have understanding of it. So it's not truth to them. And truth is what makes you free. Well, actually, the practice of truth is what makes you free, not just to know the truth. So you must put it into practice. So my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Then he says, and listen, if you reject my knowledge, if you reject my truth, I'm going to reject you from being priest for me. And a priest is one who's close to the Lord, right? And that's the first office that we must fulfill. For men and women, anybody in the body of Christ. That's why you and I are called to be worshipers first. And he says, and because you reject my knowledge, I reject you from being priests. And because you've forgotten my ways and my laws, I will forget your children. That's called a curse that comes on the family line. In other words, sometimes some of us have our children astray, they're way out there and so forth. And it's because it's an ancestral curse that is inherited. We were out there. Now, when you get in line, your children will get in line. It may not happen right away, but it's going to happen. They can't outrun the hand of God. Everybody okay? Proverbs 3. So we know that we must have understanding of the knowledge of God. In other words, his way. Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs 3 and verse 13. Glory. Would you all read it with me? Happy is the man who what? Finds wisdom, and the man who gains understanding. Happy, joyful. Praise God. The Bible says, count it all joy, right? For her proceeds are better than the profits of silver, and her gain than fine gold. For all of you that are out there buying gold and silver, and fear of the market and all those other things, your gold and silver won't mean poop. It will not rescue you. In fact, the Bible says that the gold and silver will be thrown in the streets. And it'll have no meaning whatsoever. You're better off investing in the kingdom of God than in the stock market. I can guarantee you that. Verse 15, she is more precious than rubies, and all the things that you may desire cannot compare with her. Verse 16, length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all of her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who retain her. The Lord, by wisdom, founded the earth, and by understanding he established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths were broken up, and the clouds dropped down the dew. My son, let them not depart from your eyes. In other words, you should be able to see this. Don't let it depart from your eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, so they will be life to your soul and grace to your neck. Then you will walk safely in your way, and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. Yes, you will lie down, and your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden terror nor of trouble from the wicked when it comes. For the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. This is powerful wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, which is a representation of discernment. We need to add these to our life so that we can mature. So we're always in a process of maturing. And without understanding, we actually go backwards instead of forward. I want you to understand that God prepares a place for you. And in preparing this place for you, it's a place for you to reach. When you reach that place and fulfill it, then he prepares another place for you to reach. But until you reach and fulfill that place, he will not prepare another place. And if you move out of that place and go ahead of God, you are in the flesh. Does that mean God can use you? Yes. Does he trust you? No. Has everybody got it? No. Until you fulfill that place, you cannot move to another place in the spirit. You will never earn the trust of God, but he'll use you because his heart is to rescue everybody. See, so he prepares a place for me and you. So it's a place where we're growing. See, you must grow before you go. You don't go and then grow. You grow and then go. Some people have it the opposite way. But hallelujah. In Ephesians 6. Ephesians chapter 6. So we know that people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And we need to have understanding and wisdom, so that we can maintain an area where we are able to receive from God and interpret what he's telling us. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Praise God. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. You know, that word wiles means trickery. Satan's greatest weapon is deception, and his power is fear. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, against the natural things, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. This is very powerful. So the armor of God is for battle, not to dance. You're not going out on a date with the armor of God. Although you really need to, I'm going to tell you that. Of course, there's no dating in the body of Christ. There's courting. Praise God. Now, the armor of God is for what? Battle. Somebody got it. It's to attack and defend against the powers of darkness. It's to attack and defend against the powers of darkness. You are fighting in a spiritual realm, even though you are in a natural realm. But we should be able to access the spiritual realm. These attacks against us are deception and fear. That's the purpose, is to bring deception and fear. Has everybody got it? Deception and what? Fear. So we must be led by the Holy Spirit to determine the strategy to attack and the strategy of the attacker. Does everybody get this? This is a place where God wants us to be, in the area we are, where we know the strategy of the Spirit to attack, and we know the strategy of the attacker. The Bible says that the Spirit tells us all things to come. It says the anointing that you have will teach you. Will teach you. So we must get the strategy of how to attack from the Lord and the strategy of our enemy who's attacking us. Now, he says you must be dressed with the full armor of God. Now, the full armor of God, the first thing he says is truth. It's truth, righteousness, peace, faith, salvation, the word of God, right, which is the sword of the Spirit, and the final one is tongues. Seven meaning complete. And you can read the rest of the Ephesians here. I'm not going to go through it. I guess I better. Come on. 14, stand therefore, having girded your waist with what? Truth. That's a belt. That's why all these kids are running around with their pants half down. Because they don't have the truth. Hello? It blows my mind. These are gang members and all of these kids. I'm thinking, how are you going to outrun the cops? Hello? Anyway. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with the truth. So anybody's pants are half down, you know they ain't got truth. Having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, which is tongues. Being watchful for this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Praise God. So the full armor of God, it is a spiritual fight. It is a spiritual fight, and it is also a physical fight. But you're not fighting physically. You are fighting with the spiritual weapons against spiritual forces that are in the physical realm. Are you listening? Now, he says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. You know how many people don't even know that? But you know it now, don't you? Many people don't even know this in the body of Christ. They don't even know this. Matthew 24. Matthew 24. Matthew 24 and verse 3. And as Jesus sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ. I am a believer. Hello. I'm a child of God. And will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Is that happening now? Yes. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in various places. Is that happening now? Yes, more than ever. And all these things are called the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you. And you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be what? Offended. Will betray one another. And will hate one another. Now, I want you to know that this is something that's happening already in the body of Christ. That many will be offended. They will betray. And they will hate one another. And many false prophets, which there's plenty of, will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. And it is happening now, even in the body of Christ. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations. And then the end will come. So we see offense, betrayal, hatred, self-proclaimed prophets, deception, love will grow cold. And he says, and this will happen in the latter days. In other words, end times. In other words, now. It is happening now. Has everybody got it? We are in the end days. We are in perilous times. Amen. It is happening now. In 2 Timothy 3. We have been talking about this, and there's something that this... There is a spirit that the Lord is going to reveal to us who is behind much of this. In 2 Timothy 3, start at verse 1, read it with me. But know this, that in the last days, are we in the last days? Yes, perilous times will come. Perilous times will come. That means dangerous, difficult. A society barren of virtue, truth, and moral values. A society barren of virtue, truth, and moral values. And that has happened right now. Perilous times. Because it starts from the head and works its way down. So if you have government officials that are in there that are barren of moral values, barren of truth, that means that that society is led by lies and deception. And it is going to cause perilous times. We are in perilous times right now. We are in a recession right now. At least the world is. Perilous times. Dangerous, difficult, and a society barren of virtue, truth, and moral values. In verse 2, why will this be? Because men will be lovers of what? Themselves. People are falling out of the body of Christ and doing their own thing and becoming lovers of themselves. Lovers of money. Boasters and proud. Blasphemers. Disobedient to parents. Unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving. Slanderers without self-control. Brutal despisers of good. Traitors, headstrong, haughty. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God is self-proclaimed positions also. Because they get pleasure by being acknowledged. Has everybody got it? They get pleasure by being acknowledged. Their whole purpose is to be acknowledged. Hi, I'm such and such and God is using me and I'll tell you my gifts and they understand that. Yeah, God is using you, all right. But he ain't trusting you. Hello? In verse 5, having a what? Form of godliness, but denying its power. And from such people, turn away. Turn a what? Turn away. Turn away. In other words, don't pet them and don't feed them. Because the Bible says if you agree with them, you'll receive the same judgment. Is everybody okay? For this sort are those who creep into households, ministries, and make captives of gullible men and women and load them down with various lusts and desires. Always learning. They're always learning. But they're never able to come to the knowledge of truth. Has everybody got it? This is happening now. It is a big endangerment to the body. And I pray boldness in this area, because you cannot pet these things. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Paul said, expose it. We must what? Expose it. You must make what is unseen to become seen. In 1 Timothy chapter 4. Now I'm talking about last days and times, which we are in right now. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit expressly, I'm telling you, if you see expressly, it means like he's grabbing you and shaking you and saying, get it. Says that in the latter times, some will depart from the faith. Now I want to share with you again what this is meaning. This does not mean that they are going to walk away from Jesus. It means that they are going to walk out of the will of God and do their own thing, but still proclaim that they know Jesus. Giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. Speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with the hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. See, but they know the truth, but they're going to be deceived, aren't they? They're going to be what? Deceived. Those knowing the truth will be turned from the truth with compromise, complacency, and reasoning. Compromise, complacency, and reasoning. Now, why will we turn to that? Because of selfish ambitions. Compromise, complacency, and reasoning to fulfill selfish ambitions. Are you listening? To what? Fulfill selfish ambitions. This is demonic influence to bring deception and fear. It causes believers to fight each other, and unbelievers will eventually eliminate each other. That's the whole purpose of the kingdom of darkness, isn't it? Satan wants man to kill man. The Bible says he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And the purpose behind these spirits, the demonic powers of darkness, which they influence individuals, is to bring division in the body of Christ, that believers begin to fight each other, and unbelievers eliminate each other. Glory. Genesis 6. Genesis chapter 6. Now remember in Ephesians 6 we shared that our fight is not flesh and blood, but principalities, powers of darkness, wickedness in heavenly places, right? So we're fighting spiritual hosts in spiritual places. So we're fighting an army of a military that is unseen from ground up. A demon is a disembodied spirit looking for a body, right? A strong man is a high-ranking demon. And a principality, which is an angel of Satan in territorial areas. Does everybody understand that? And they're also known as territorial spirits. Now, I want to go back a little bit to where some of this began to originate. And starting in chapter 6, in verse 1, it says, now it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and the daughters were born to them, that the sons of God were known as angels, okay, saw the daughters of men, and they were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves of all whom they chose. These angels that put on flesh, that left their domain, all right, that were not God's angels, these are some of the angels of Satan's kingdom. Because when Satan was removed from God's throne room, he took a third of the angels. Lucifer was an archangel. Gabriel and Michael, and each one of them was in charge of a third of the angels. So Lucifer, who became Satan, took a third of the angels, and God removed them and sentenced him and all of them to this realm. Hallelujah. But it's okay. It's for your training. Training for reigning. So we know that the principalities, you know, they're all over nations and countries and towns and cities, and there's territorial spirits and so forth in all of these areas that control, they get their orders from Satan's domain, and then they take dominion and send these orders down. In fact, witchcraft is associated with it. and they hit all of the other military sources of strong men and so forth, and they give orders to demons, and there's certain sizes of demons that are looking for an access to a body. So these angels of Satan put on flesh and came into the natural realm and took wives. So everybody got it? Now, you got to remember something, that these angels are big. They're also known as giants. Some of them thought, man, they're giants. You remember the myths of Zeus and everything else? That, you know, remember Greek myths? Well, see, this is where it came from. These are supposed to be gods or goddesses and so forth. But they were actually angels that had left their domain and came into the natural realm and put on flesh and misled people. Their purpose was to mislead God's creation so that they would not acknowledge God and be dependent on Him, that these angels replace themselves as gods and goddesses, that man would be dependent on them. And they were known as giants also. Is everybody okay? Good. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. And there were what? Giants on the earth in those days, and also afterward, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, and they bore children to them. Those were the mighty men who were of old, men of renown. Hello. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil when? Continually. That's why he was going to destroy them all. So everybody got it. And we have a teaching called Demons, which will bring you more understanding of everything. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his spirit. So we know that that's why the flood came. It wiped out. Now, I want you to understand something, that the offsprings, when these angels went into these women, they produced offsprings. And these offsprings also became giants. Some of them were giants, some of them looked normal, some of them were weird. So the Lord wiped out all of them, and these offsprings became spirits. When they were killed, they were still looking for a body. And that's what became demons. So demons are actually offsprings of the angels that came into the flesh, had sex with women of the flesh, and their offsprings, when they died, became demons. Are you listening? Now we've got the Lord kills them all. You got all these demons running around on the earth. He also took some, because Noah was complaining to the Lord that the demons were destroying his stuff and whatever, and the Lord came down and took many of the demons and put them into hell. They no longer had reign over the earth. And only the Lord releases what demons he allows to be released. So now you have Noah, and he's got three sons, right? And one of Noah's sons marries an offspring, because Noah escaped the flood, marries an offspring of one of these giants, and he doesn't know it. So now Noah comes into the new land after the flood, and they begin to be fruitful and what? Multiply. All of a sudden, giants start showing up again. Why? Because they got through. Because one of Noah's sons married an offspring. Are you listening? Cool. Numbers 13. So, in the Middle East, giants began to multiply. And true reality, the Lord's fight was against these tribes of giants and stuff. Numbers 13. In verse 30. Now, you know, Joshua and Caleb, they made it to the promised land, right? Joshua and Caleb were under Moses, weren't they? Chapter 13, Numbers. In verse 30, it says, Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men who had gone up with him said, We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, The land through which we have gone as spies is the land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people whom we saw in it are men of what? Great stature. In other words, they were giants. There we saw the what? Giants, the descendants of Anak from the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight. So we understand that Caleb was the one that said, man, listen, and some of the others over there were like, yo. So Caleb and Joshua, actually Caleb and Joshua wanted to fight, but the other ones didn't, that went with them to spy out. Because they were afraid because they were giants. So you see that there was a tribe of giants there, wasn't there? So Moses and Joshua really had to fight against these giants in all the land of the Middle East. They were all over. Which represents territorial predators. These giants were known as territorial predators. And they were under territorial spirits or principalities. And they were of evil influence to control borders and take prisoners for their own bidding. There was a place called Ashdod, which was known as the city of giants. And there was another place southwest of Jerusalem, which was known as the valley of giants. And north of Jerusalem, there was the giants that were associated with the Philistines. And of course, obviously, you know where we're getting to. Goliath. Go to 1 Samuel 16. 1 Samuel 16. 1 Samuel 16 and verse 1. Now we know that King Saul was the first king of the Israelites, right? And Saul became disobedient. He was influenced. The anointing was on Saul, but he was influenced by territorial spirits. And his influence began to produce pride, reasoning, compromise, and complacency. And it says in verse 1, now the Lord said to Samuel, who was the prophet, how long will you mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill your horn with oil, with overflow. Fill your horn with Phyllis. No, I mean... Fill your horn with oil and go, and I am sending you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I provided myself a king among his sons. So we know that Samuel went over to Jesse the Bethlehemite, and Jesse had sons, and the Lord didn't choose any of them. And also one was out there as a shepherd watching over the sheep, and all of them were bigger than David, and David came up and the Lord said, anoint him. So the Lord, now look at verse 13, it says, then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose and went to Ramah. But look at verse 14. But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and a what? A distressing spirit from the Lord troubled him, a demon. In verse 23. And so it was, whenever the spirit from God or the distressing spirit was upon Saul, that David would take a harp and play it with his hand. Then Saul will become what? Refreshed, well, and the distressing spirit would depart from him. So because the anointing was taken from Saul and given to David, the anointing, Saul, for him to maintain his kingship, had to maintain David with him because he was now carrying the anointing. And that anointing now was the only thing that could combat that spirit. Are you listening? So the anointing lifted from Saul because of his disobedience. The Lord anointed David to become king. Now, of course, David wasn't king for many years afterwards, but the anointing was there, and God was training him up then. So David hung around Saul and got to see all the things of kingship. Because you got to remember, he was a shepherd boy. But now he had the anointing of a king. He didn't even know what he had. But he was a worshiper. Because he was fulfilling his priesthood. So he would play and worship the Lord. And that presence of God would come. And the demon would leave Saul. And Saul would be refreshed and healed. And clarity would come back to him. So David was anointed to take out demons. That's what the anointing does. See, the demons acknowledge the anointing. Hallelujah. Go to chapter 17 and verse 1. Now the Philistines gathered their armies together to battle and were gathered at Succoth, which belongs to Judah. They encamped between Succoth and Azekiah and the other place. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together, and they encamped in the valley of Elah and drew up in battle array against the Philistines. The Philistines stood on a mountain on one side, and Israel stood on the mountain on the other side with a valley between them. Now, you got to understand that each one wanted to hide, okay? But neither one of them will go down in the valley first, because whoever went down in the valley first would end up basically losing. Because the other ones would be able to see what was going on. They'd be able to throw spears and whatever and catch them in the valley. So neither one of them had the boldness to go down to the valley. In verse 4, and what? A champion went out from the camp of the Philistines named Goliath from Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. So he was big. He was between 9 and 12 feet tall. Hello? Holy Ghost karate. And he had a bronze helmet on his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze, heavy. And he had bronze around his legs and a bronze javelin between his shoulders. Now the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his iron spearhead weighed 600 shekels, and the shield bearer went before him. Then he stood and cried out to the armies of Israel and said to them, why have you come out to line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine? And you the servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves and let him come down to me. Now I want you to understand that these were now men servants of who? Saul. They were not under David, were they? They were under Saul. Now what was Saul under? A distressing spirit. So everybody in Saul's army was shaking in their boots, if they had any. Are you with me? Glory to God. In verse 9, if he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. When Saul and all Israel heard this, these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and what? Greatly afraid. Now again, they were under Saul, not under the authority. The authority that was against the demons was lifted. They were afraid. The distressing demon had access to Saul, and Saul was now under demonic influence. And he needed the anointing of God. That's again why David had to be with him. Because David was the only one, the anointing was going to defeat the fear that Saul was carrying. Now go to verse 20. So David rose early in the morning and left the sheep with the keeper and took the things and went to Jesse as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the camp as the army was going out to fight and shouting for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had drawn up in battle array, army against army. And David left his supplies in the hand of the supply keeper, ran to the army, and came and greeted his brothers. Then as he talked with them, there was the champion, or the giant, right? The Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, coming up from the armies of the Philistine, and he spoke according to the same words. So David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were dreadfully afraid. Why? Because they were under who? Saul. So everybody see this. Now, they were defying Israel. I want to share a couple things with you about this. This demon, this territorial, all right, individual, Goliath, that was an offspring, who was very big, he was defiling the armies of Israel. He was boasting. He boasted, and one of the things that he was boasting, I want you to get this, is he was boasting in how he killed Eli's sons and took the Ark of the Covenant away. Do you remember when Eli's sons died? It was Goliath that killed them. There was mental intimidation. Why? He was speaking to them all the time. It was morning and night he would come out. And he was doing mental intimidation to them to bring them into a bondage of fear. And he exalted his deities. He was cursing them in the name of his gods. And he had three gods that he was cursing them. There were three arenas. His deity was Dagon, which was their natural god of the Philistines. Beelzebub, which is the prince of devils. And Baal, male dominance, associated with pride. So those three demons, those three spirits, or territorial principalities, were overseen in this area. They were controlling the spirit that was in Goliath. Are you listening? And that spirit in Goliath was an expression, because they've opened themselves to this deities. And there was more giants than just Goliath. I want you to understand, Israel was fighting in the whole Middle East of all against these giants. These demons and principalities had control over the spirit of Goliath. And Goliath walked in pride and hatred. Pride in what? Hatred. In verse 38. Now Saul clothed David with his armor. Won't work. And he put on a bronze helmet on his head. He also clothed him with a coat of mail. And David fastened his sword and nearly killed himself. No. Fastened his sword to his armor and tried to walk, for he had not tested them. And David said to Saul, I cannot walk with these, for I have not tested them. So David what? Took them off. He could not walk in Saul's armor. David had his own armor. Are you listening? Why? Because David was now armed with the anointing. Saul was armed with fleshly stuff. So he couldn't fight. Remember, this was a spiritual fight in a physical arena. Then he took his staff in his hand, and he chose for himself five smooth stones from the brook, and he put them in the shepherd's bag and in a pouch which he had, and his sling was in his hand. And he drew near to the Philistine. So the Philistine came and began drawing near to David, and the man who bore the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was only a youth, ruddy and good looking. So the Philistine said to David, am I a dog? See, if David would have known what the understanding of a dog was, he would have said, yep. Am I a dog? I mean, you got to remember now, he confessed who he was. Am I a dog? What's a dog? A demon-possessed individual. Am I a dog that you came to me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his what? What were his three gods? Baal, Dagon, and who? Beelzebub. And the Philistine said to David, come to me and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. What was he trying to do? Mentally, what? Intimidate him. Then David said to the Philistine, you idiot. No. You come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a what? Javelin. Things of the natural. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth shall know that there is a God in Israel. Now David was calling those things that are not as though they are. Why? He was able to decree this because of the anointing. Remember, he was spiritually fighting. He was taking dominion over the spirit in him by what he was saying. He was taking dominion over the areas and territorial spirits and principalities by what he spoke. Has everybody got it? God had already moved on his behalf. And he was setting Goliath up perfectly for a bullseye. In verse 47. Then all of this the assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with the sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. So it was when the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David that David hurried and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. Then David put his hand in his bag and took out a stone, and he slung it and struck the Philistine in his forehead. Remember, where's the battle? In the mind. He hit him in the only open place possible. I mean, this big gorilla was covered from head to toe with bronze, which you couldn't even penetrate it. There was only one place he could get hit. But see, David hung out with the sheep. He protected them. He fought against a bear and a lion because of the anointing. And he practiced with his slingshot. And when he got with Goliath, he said, man, your sword and your spear is nothing against the name of the Lord. David never gave glory to what his talent was. Goliath did. David never acknowledged his own weapon of a slingshot and a stone. He acknowledged the Lord's name. He acknowledged the Lord God Almighty. You understand that? Because of the anointing. And when a Philistine came to him, he hit him right in the only place that could kill him. The only open part of his armor. And David prevailed, and the Philistine fell on his face on the earth. In verse 50, so David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone and struck the Philistine and killed him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood over the Philistine, took his own sword and drew it out of its sheath and killed him and cut off his head with it. And when the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they booked. They called a cab. They tried everything, man. I mean, they were gone. Now, you got to understand this. So David beheaded Goliath with his own sword. See, that's the anointing. So everybody got it. Oh, hallelujah. How lovely. The sword of the Spirit hit the giant in the only open place to kill him. That's what our job is to do. Hit and behead. Territorial spirits of Baal and Dagon and Beelzebub that rule over the spirit of Goliath, the demon that now takes place in the body of Christ to deceive, divide, and attack the anointing. Now, there's something that I really believe that happened. And I'm sharing with you, this is what I believe. I believe that when Goliath died, that the spirit of Goliath entered Saul. You got to remember that Goliath's whole arena was what? Pride and what? Hatred. And he was coming against the armies of God. Now, Saul was already open to a distressing spirit. And you got to remember that the offsprings, when they died, those spirits became what? Demons. Right? So I believe that when Goliath was killed and beheaded, that spirit of Goliath entered Saul. And that spirit of Goliath still hinders the body of Christ now. Now we'll go a little further. Watch this. Glory. Go to 1 Samuel. Oh, well, we're there. 18. In verse 6. Is everybody okay? Do you see that these giants were now, they were territorial predators. They were under control and under territorial spirits. So that was the spiritual was manifesting physical. So Israel, the Israelites are all out in all areas, in all of these towns and so forth, trying to destroy these tribes that had giants in them. And in 1 Samuel 18 and verse 6, now it happened as they were coming home When David was returning from the slaughter of the Philistine, that the woman, that women had come out of the cities of Israel singing and dancing to meet King Saul with tambourines, with joy, and with musical instruments. So the women sang as they danced and said, "Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. Then Saul was very what? Angry. Now, what protects fear? Anger. And the saying displeased him, and he said, "They have ascribed to David 10,000, and to me they have ascribed only 1,000. Now what more can he have but the kingdom?" But he already knew David was anointed to become king. So Saul eyed David from that day forward. And it happened on the next day that the what? Distressing spirit from God came upon Saul, and he what? Saul prophesied. He did not prophesy by the spirit of the Lord. He prophesied by the spirit of a demon, didn't he? Now, it never said before that Saul prophesied, because I really believe now that the spirit of Goliath had entered Saul. And it says here now that the distressing spirit from God came upon Saul, and he prophesied inside the house. So David played music with his hand as at other times, but there was a spear in Saul's hand. Come on. Who else had a spear in his hand and wanted to kill David? Goliath. So Saul cast a spear, for he said, "I will pin David to the wall." But David escaped his presence twice. Now Saul was afraid of David, because the Lord was with him, but he had departed from Saul. Therefore Saul removed him from his presence and made him his captain over 1,000. And he went out and came in before the people. And David behaved what? Wisely, because of the anointing, in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. Therefore when Saul saw that he behaved very wisely, he was afraid of him. But all Israel and Judah loved David, because he went out and came in before them. Now, again, I want you to understand that Saul chased David for many years, didn't he? He was out to what? Kill him. He tried to kill him in every area. Didn't Goliath try to kill him? You think maybe the spirit of Goliath wanted vengeance? Come on, I want you to think about this. In fact, Saul chased David and even into places where the high priests were, because the high priest also had the sword of Goliath, and they gave it to David because David was running from Saul and hiding out in caves and so forth. And when Saul came to the priest and found out that David had been there, Saul killed every high priest. He killed and murdered every single one of them. See, but David was still carrying the priesthood. Can you see this spiritually? Can you see this? David was still carrying his priesthood, wasn't he? Even though that Saul killed all the priests, David still carried the priesthood. He still carried the anointing as a king because he maintained his priesthood. But one thing David did not do, and he had opportunity to kill Saul, he chose not to, because he said, "I can't touch the Lord's anointed," even though Saul was no longer anointed. But Saul was still king. So David was honoring, hello, the position, not the man. Because David had the anointing. He was able to see these things now. Because the anointing will bring you sight of God's authority, God's divine order. But the distressing spirit and demonic influence will blind you from divine order. Ooh. Now Saul eventually fell on his own sword, killed himself. And we know what happened? In a battle with the Philistines. Go to 2 Samuel 21. Now, remember this now, okay? That Saul, now the anointing lifted from Saul, he was influenced now by the spirit of Goliath. And his whole function now and purpose was to destroy the anointing. I mean, he chased David for years, man. For years. But David carried the kingship and priesthood. And eventually Saul ended up killing himself, falling on his own sword. But that's what's going on. See, that spirit of Goliath is trying to bring division in the body of Christ. It actually brings hatred against the anointing. That's why the Bible says in Matthew 24, and they will be offended. They will hate one another. They will betray one another. That's why it's so important that we stay filled with the Spirit of God. That's why it's so important that we stay plugged in. That's why it's so important that we do our warfare and get dressed with the full armor of God. Hello? Every single day. And begin to learn how to fight and take those territorial spirits and bind the spirit of Goliath and bind those spirits of Dagon and so forth and Beelzebub and take your authority and bind. Your part of your prayer should be attacking. We should be attacking every morning. And while you're attacking, the Spirit's going to be imparting in you strategies of what the devil is doing. And he'll be guiding you in every area. And what you don't see, you'll be protected of as long as you attack first. You know, look at Saul. Remember Saul who became Paul? First of all, I can't understand. If anybody read the Old Testament, why would you name your kid Saul? My goodness. You know, it still blows my mind. I'm thinking, man, his family must have been a bunch of idiots. I mean, they knew what happened to King Saul. Why would you name your kid Saul? But God knew, huh? Amen? He was going to remove. The Lord had to remove that name. But Saul was walking in that same arena. Do you understand that? Saul walked in the same spirit as the old Saul. Well, if he was labeled with the name, he'd have to. Remember, Saul was after to kill and destroy the anointing. I believe the same spirit of Goliath was in Saul. That same spirit under the same deities and territorial spirits and principalities. And then the Lord got a hold of Saul. Bam! Flew off his horse, laid on the ground, said, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Who are you? I am Jesus. Okay, Lord, what do you want me to do? I got it. Lord had to slap the demon right out of him. Wham! Then blind him for 3 days. Then he sends Ananias over there to lay his hands on him so he can get baptized in the Holy Ghost and the scales leave. Now, Saul became Paul. I want to share that Saul became David. David. The same anointing that was on David now was on Paul. Are you getting it? 2 Samuel 21. 2 Sammy. Chapter 21. 21 and verse 15. I just want to show you that their fight continued. David's fight continued against these giants. In verse 15, are you there? Let's read it. When the Philistines were at war again with Israel, because they were always going at war, David and his servants went down and fought against the Philistines, and David grew faint. Then Ishbi-Benad, who was one of the sons of the what? He was another giant. You see this? He was another giant. And the weight whose bronze spear was 300 shekels, who was bearing a new sword, thought he could kill David. He saw David grew weary, tired. And he was another giant. And he went over to kill him. But Abishai, the son of Zariah, came to his aid and struck the Philistine and killed him. Then the men of David swore to him, saying, you shall go out no more with us to battle, lest you quench the lamp of Israel. But you know, David said, no way. I'm going to get me some giants. Now it happened afterward that there was again a battle with the Philistines at Gob. Then Shabashi, the Hushonite, killed Sophri, who was one of the sons of the giant. He was another giant. And again there was war with Gob, with the Philistines, where Elihan, the son of Jeroboam, the Bithlamite, killed the brother of Goliath, the Gittite, the Shafter, whose spear was like a weaver's beam. So I'm sharing with you, look at all these giants that they were killing. And this is Goliath's brother they killed. Now look at verse 20. And yet again there was war in Gath, where there was a man of great stature who had six fingers on each hand and six toes on each foot, and one coming out his forehead. No. He was the toe man. Hallelujah. Is everybody all right? Come on, don't get religious on me. Each foot, he had 24 in number, and he was born to the what? Giant. So he was another giant. This guy was huge. If he had six toes and six hands, fingers, you'd have to be big. Try to need that many for balance. So when he defied Israel, Jonathan, the son of Shemaiah, David's brother, killed him. These four were born to the giant in Gath and fell by the hand of David and by the hand of his servants. So I want you to understand that, you know, so many people don't realize what was really going on in those days, because there were tribes of giants. And some of these were that people that certain areas in Hebron and all those areas, there was a giant of every area that they had to go defeat. And there are giants in your life that you must defeat. But you cannot defeat them in the physical. You must defeat them in the spirit. And God has already ordained and given us the victory. Do you understand that? We already have everything available to us. We just have to deny ourselves and start praising Him and worshiping, staying filled with the Spirit of God, speak the word, and do it. But we must do warfare. Warfare is essential. See, you don't realize, even when you're doing warfare, how much destruction you're doing to the powers of darkness, to their camp and their kingdom. But there may be giants in your life, fear, whatever it may be. These giants can easily be defeated by the anointing. Remember, they want to destroy the anointing in your life. They want to get you to a place where you're not maintaining the anointing, where you get caught up. And the next thing you know, that you get so caught up in stuff that you forget about protecting the anointing in your life. You know, people can get caught up in ministry, in work, in busyness, and forget about maintaining the anointing in their life. And the next thing you know, they're not seeing, they're not receiving, and you're wondering, what's the problem with them? Why can't they see what you see? Because the anointing brings sight. The flesh brings blindness. And we must continue to attack the spirit of Goliath and these territorial spirits that are trying to destroy our children, that are bringing division in the body of Christ. See, now, everyone here, I hope, has been baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost. And the anointing that is on you is actually even greater than the anointing that's on David, that was on David. Because the anointing on you now comes from is the Spirit of Christ who is in you. Are you listening? See, so you don't have to. Your fight is not just like David, individual, and with an army. You're an army within yourself. So you can take out whole areas. But the devil doesn't want you to know that. Because, see, all of heaven is behind you. If you're right and walking divinely with the Lord and walking in proper order, all of heaven is behind you. That's why we are known as the what? Blessed. Amen? Does everybody all understand? Everybody got it? Listen, start fighting. Don't ever give up. Stay submissive to authority, no matter what anybody tells you or tries to offer you or exchange. Stay submissive. No matter what. Because if you move out of that, you will open yourself up to a demonic spirit. Stay in divine order. No divine order. Remember, we are to be God pleasers, not men pleasers. You want to maintain the anointing that God has given you and become a fighter, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. See, you don't realize what army is in you. If you've got all of heaven behind you, you got a big army. Continue to warfare. Let's start taking dominion over that spirit, those demonic forces. Get them out. Behead them. I love beheading them. People go, what's your hobby? I behead. I'm a beheader. They may look at me a little strange, but, you know, praise God. What you do? I'll behead, brother. It's been nice knowing you. But we behead serpents, right? We cut off the head of the devil. In other words, you disarm them. And it's something that we must continue. Believe me, if the whole body of Christ was spiritually warfaring, we would be a lot more advanced than where we are now. Amen? Is everybody okay? Praise God. Father, we give you all the glory, honor, and praise, and we thank you, Master. We thank you for the full armor. We thank you for the truth. And we thank you for dominion. And we thank you for the anointing. And we give Jesus all the glory and honor and praise that you paid the price that we could receive your spirit. Help us, Lord. Grant us the wisdom, understanding, and discernment to be about your business in true spirit and power, and raise up your warriors right here in this room for your glory. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah.